Let's look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, the disciple Stephen was one of the few that was chosen to help with the daily work in the church, helping to feed the widows. He was a man considered to be full of the Spirit. And he began to speak the word of God to some religious Pharisees, and they did not like it. I'm scrolling down to get to the verse. Verse 54 says, when they heard these things, they were enraged in their hearts. Josiah, sit down. They were enraged in their hearts and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw God's glory with Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. When they screamed at the top of their voices, covered their ears, and together rushed against him, they threw him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They were stoning Stephen as he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And saying this, he fell asleep. There's a lot in this story, a lot in the retelling of this. Part of it is that in order to stone somebody, legally you had to have an agreement with the entirety of the Sanhedrin because it was a corporal punishment. So these men responded out of rage because they didn't like what was being said to them. And Stephen is preaching to these Pharisees, and he really gets them mad because he is calling them out on their dogma and their tradition and how that they have actually looked away from the true God, following their own traditions. And through the midst of this, here's Stephen filled with the Spirit, and the religious leaders are coming after him. They're going to stone him. Because now what he has said is he has seen into the Spirit. The heavens were opened. He saw into the Spirit. He saw beyond this natural world that we live in, and he saw Jesus, the Son of Man, standing at the right hand of the Father. They considered that blasphemy, the religious leaders did. And they were already angry at him for calling them out on their religious traditions. But Stephen is filled with the Spirit, and as they're dragging him out of the town, he stays in the Spirit. He doesn't get in the flesh and start crying and begging for forgiveness. He stays in the Spirit. I have a hard time staying in the Spirit when I drive. We were driving. I took my dad to a doctor's appointment for his eyes today down in Folsom. And we were talking about how some person had been driving, and he said, that reminds me of the old saying, they don't have enough, if their brains were dynamite, they didn't have enough to blow their nose. It's hard when we're out of practice and we don't make the practice of our daily life being the daily life of being in the Spirit, because we have stuff to do. I got up this morning, and I didn't get up as early as Doreen. Nobody I know gets up as early as Doreen and is at work before I get up. But I got up, and My 8:30, my phone rings. It's the insurance adjuster. Then while I'm on the phone with the insurance, yeah, we're still dealing with the insurance, but I think we got it finally figured out. Then one of the guys I've called for getting the tree removed over here calls, and then Kathy called, and then the insurance adjuster called back, and it was then the guy who's going to do the striping in the parking lot called, and so I had to hurry and take a shower and come over here so I could meet him so we could talk about how we're going to do the stripes, and then I had to hurry home and get the kids and dad and pile them in the car. And do you know, not one time I thought about Jesus the entire time. Not one time did I even think about, relax, you're a spirit. You're from a spirit realm. Not once. Got my dad, got the kids, went and grabbed something to eat, went to my dad's house, dad took a shower, piled back in the car, drove to Folsom, waited an hour and a half after going to Costco, came home, made dinner, and got here at 6:31. Life is busy. But our priority, and this is where we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, has always got to be, what is our priority? And it's hard to do that. I know. I'm living here in this body too. The body itself has demands and needs. It gets hungry, it gets tired, it gets dirty. You have to schlep it from one place to the next. You know what I'm saying? It gets dirty, you've got to shower it. You've got to clean it. It's a high-maintenance thing, this fleshly body. Josiah, you need to stop. At one point, though, we're going to put off this mortal body, and we'll be further clothed with the body that is from heaven, a spiritual body. And we'll be like Jesus, walking through walls, right? Ascending on the clouds. I mean, that's a far better way to travel, if you ask me. I mean, you can have a room without doors. You don't have to figure out what you're gonna do with that wall that has the door on it, because you don't need a door. You can just walk through it. The spirit realm is, for us, our ultimate destination. And this, I wasn't even going to talk about this. I had a whole nother notes set up for tonight. So hold on with me while I look up a scripture. I'm sure I know where it's at. Yep, Ephesians 6:18. So if you turn to Ephesians 6. And here we are in verse 16. In every situation, not just the ones that make you cry or buckle at the knees or make you gnash your teeth, in every situation, take the shield of faith. Now, we've started talking about faith a little bit more. I kind of tend to pride myself on the fact that I come from the most famous faith school in the world, and I've yet to teach an actual lesson on faith. But everybody seems to be grasping what faith is. Taking the shield of faith, faith is what you believe, right? We've talked about that. The word for faith is the Greek word pistos, which means belief or conviction. Take the shield of your conviction. Take the shield of what you believe. And with it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. So you know what this word is tonight. This word is a word for you. This is the word. I had a whole nother word prepared. But this is the word for you. When we came out of worship and we were in the Spirit, this is the word. Our convictions are a shield, and they have to be based on the sword of the Spirit, which Paul says is the word of God. So our shield of faith, based on our convictions, which is the sword of the Spirit, we enter into prayer. So we don't enter into prayer with our flesh screaming and crying about how awful things are. We come in prayer into the Spirit with our faith, in faith, with the Word. Do you follow that? This is Paul. Come in when you pray, have the shield of faith. Take the sword of the Spirit and pray in the Spirit. Faith is a spiritual force. We've been talking about this on Sundays. Faith is of the heart, Romans 10. With the heart one believes, with the heart one has faith, with the heart, pistos. For we speak with our mouth, but we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's where faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing. Are you seeing the connection? We have the shield of faith. Faith is what you believe. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes from the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So when we come, we enter into the Spirit through the Word by what we believe. See, there's a lot of people throughout the world who believe that holding a rosary bead and repeating the same thing over and over again is going to get them a response. But do you know that Jesus said that people who come to him, that come to the Father, in vain repetitions will not be heard? There's vain repetitions in the rosary beads. There's vain repetition. Can I just say, it's vain repetition just to quote the Lord's Prayer over and over again. It would be a vain repetition to pray any prayer over again just because that's the way you always pray. Now, there are prayers that we do that. That's a prayer of supplication. When we come and we're bringing somebody before the Lord and we're praying, we've got our scriptures that we're praying for that person. But if I'm just praying a prayer just because I was taught to pray this prayer, then that becomes a vain repetition. It has no meaning. It has no faith behind it. It has no form of the Spirit with it. There's no being in the Spirit with that kind of praying. That's why one of the most important prayers that any believer can pray is praying in tongues. Why? Jesus said, "In my name, you'll speak in new tongues." That's an act of faith. People get filled with the Spirit, and we begin to speak in other tongues. Jesus said we were going to do it. Paul said it's a gift of the Spirit. I'm a spirit. My end goal, at the end of this natural life, I'm going to be in the Spirit. Stephen was in the Spirit. Come on, they're getting ready to stone him. He's still in the Spirit, and they're getting ready to stone him. I'd be crying and bawling. At least I think I would be. I don't know. I mean, it's possible I might not, but I can't imagine being in that situation. But see, here's Stephen, he's in the Spirit. What about Peter? Peter is walking down the streets of Jerusalem, and he is so in the Spirit that there's an area around him as he's walking through the streets of Jerusalem. He's so in the Spirit, he has pulled the atmosphere of heaven out of the unseen realm, and it is a garment for him that goes out around him, and the people in the city are bringing out their sick people and putting them in the street so that if his shadow, this area around him, touches them, they'll get healed. He's in the Spirit. Come on, there's a place in the Spirit where everybody who believes in Jesus, we can get to. we can get to that place in the Spirit. We kind of touch into it in worship times where we're kind of getting into the Spirit. And, you know, there's that just kind of like that sweet, cool, almost humid feel that comes over you from the inside out. And you just think, I could stand here like this for him forever. I could just stand here because his presence is so engulfing me right now. There's nothing else I could do. No place else I'd rather be than right here. And then if I can take that and I can start to walk through the rest of my day with that presence. Stephen did that as he was being stoned. He finished his race in the Spirit. He didn't finish his race. He didn't start good and finish weak. He started strong and he finished strong. There's a strong finish in being in the Spirit. Being in the Spirit gives us the strength to face trouble. Being in the Spirit gives us the ability to view what's going on around us. If I'm standing on the deck at my house looking down, I have a different view than if I'm sitting down there. I can see out further. I can see more things going on around me if I'm standing up higher. If I'm on an elevated plateau, if I'm seated with him in heavenly places, far above all power, principality, might, and dominion, then where does that put the enemy? It puts him below me. Instead of, I'm just always fighting with him. I'm just always struggling. I'm just always, and that, you know, and really, I'm going to tell you, the worst thing we're fighting against is not the devil. There's only one Satan. He is not omnipresent. He is not omniscient. He is a fallen angel. There is only one God, and he is in yesterday, he is in today, and he is in tomorrow. He is eternal. He knows the beginning from the end. Satan doesn't. He's got the book. It's the Bible. He's read the Bible. Scripture even tells us he knows what's in it, but he just doesn't understand it. He doesn't comprehend it. He doesn't know. He doesn't know when he reads it that that's about him being defeated and thrown into the lake of fire, because if he did, maybe he would change his plans. But he's like a dog that learned to bark at falling leaves, and you can't untrain him not to do it. Yes, he's like the dogs at Abuelita and Grandpa Jim's house. Oh, I'm telling you, if a leaf blows across the porch, the dogs get all in an uproar. There's devils at the door. That's how Satan is. He doesn't know until we tell him, no, this is not your property. This is God's property. And you don't get to come on here with your drugs and your alcohol and your Ouija boards and your pornography and all that other load of garbage that you have. It doesn't come here anymore. But most of us, we're so busy being caught up in what's happening right now that we can't see beyond. And that's one of the things I always appreciate about Brother Hagin, is Brother Hagin would never respond to anything right away. He'd always wait until he got a word from God on what to do about it. And then once you've got the word, now you run with it. Scripture says, write the vision, make it plain, so that he who sees and reads can run with it. The vision for something has to be clear in order to run with it. We can say, well, I know a scripture, I can use that one. What's your scripture base? Have you sought the Lord on what my scripture is for this situation? What is the word of God that I'm standing on for this situation? How am I going to deal with this? This looks really big. This looks like I'm not sure God could handle this. But God is waiting for us to check in with him to find out what he wants us to do about a situation. Because God already knows. He sees the beginning from the end. He knows what's necessary. He knows how you need to approach a situation. He says he's already done everything he's going to do for us, and all we have to do is figure it out and get in step with him, and then he'll take care of it. You know, I'll tell you, there are some situations I pray, and, you know, I've talked with people, what about this situation or what about that situation? I don't know. I'm praying about it. I'm trusting God for it, and I'm believing God's going to take care of that situation. Okay. And then all of a sudden, something happens, and that situation just got taken care of. I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to get in the middle of it. I didn't have to deal with anything. Just somebody will come up and say, oh, you know, the Lord told me this, and so I'm going to do that. And I'm like, okay, praise the Lord. And that's taken care of. Because most of the time, we're dealing with our own physical urgencies. Like when you're running late for work, and so you're driving really fast, and everybody's going on a Sunday afternoon drive, and you wonder how is it that this, you know, people could be going so slow? Well, who's the real problem? Is it them or is it you? Because you're the one who's running late, right? It's not their fault you're running late. It's not your fault, their fault. You got caught up looking on Facebook or sending emails to text messages to friends and going through your pictures. And oh my goodness, it takes 20 minutes to get to work. And it's 15 minutes before I have to be there. And so now everybody's in your way, right? And then there's the other kind of situation where people are just not cooperating the way you'd like them to. And you've got two choices. You can get in it and tell them, you know, you're being kind of a, you know, about this. And then you've got problems with the person. Or you can take him to Jesus. Oh, Lord, I don't know how to handle this situation with this person. But I know that you can work on it, and you can help me to know what to do and what to say, and you can work in their heart and help them to figure out what they're supposed to do so we can get this thing figured out together. Father, I just commit it and leave it to you in Jesus' name. And then not gripe about it. Because as soon as we gripe about it, we take ownership of it again. Because then we start saying, well, it's just not working out, and I don't understand how that person could think that way. And, well, you just didn't leave it to Jesus, really, did you? You just kind of stuck it in your back pocket for 30 seconds. And then as soon as you sat down, it poked you in the butt, and you pulled it out. Oh, it's that thing I gave that I've gotten you. Right? Cast all your care on him. There are keys to being in the Spirit. And every single one of those keys depends on you or me in our own personal life, how we can do that. Now, I said, you know, I'm not perfect at this. I don't know anybody who's perfect at this. But every single one of us has the opportunity every day, and maybe we don't think about it all day, but a situation comes up and you're like, okay, I gotta seek God on this. And that gives us an opportunity to get in and to be in the Spirit and to be trusting God. And see, this is one of those things, you know, we're talking about faith, the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus is really us putting our faith in him and in his word that he will do what he said he was going to do. Now, every situation isn't always going to turn out exactly the way you thought it would or the way you preferred it to happen. But it's best if he takes care of it. It's best if I don't have to get into it and I'm looking at the speck in somebody else's eye. And that puts a log in my eye because I'm spending all my time looking at the speck in somebody else's eye. And that makes me unqualified to tell you how to fix your problem that's bugging me. Because it's not really your problem, it's my problem. Right? I mean, if I'm looking at somebody and I just think all about the time about, you know, they just need to fix the way they do that. Oh, I just hate the way that they do that. It just bugs me the way that they do that. Who's really the one with the problem in the first place then? It's me. It's not them. Right? Well, those kinds of things keep us out of the Spirit. Stephen, In this account, there is nothing that even indicates that he even knew what was going on around him until he said, "Father, Lord, forgive them. Don't hold this against them." And then he fell asleep. It's a good place when you're under tribulation, trials, persecution, stoning, if you can just be at peace, because you know whether you're here or there, you're with Jesus anyway. And if we can just take Jesus everywhere we go, arm in arm through the day, in the Spirit, then it doesn't matter what people say. Right? Amen. Heavenly Father, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us a place called in the Spirit. Thank you for creating us as your sons and daughters, as spiritual beings that can dwell with you and abide with you in the heavenly places even now. Like Peter, like Stephen, like John. Oh, that we could know you so well and spend so much more time with you in the Spirit. Help us to desire it more, Father. Help us to desire to be in the Spirit instead of in the flesh. I thank you for it, Father.